Welcome to the EQ for Life podcast. EQ for Life is a podcast based on your views as a parent, a companion, an entrepreneur, or business leader, and how learning to be smart about emotions plays out in everyday life. Thank you for participating in this podcast event, EQ for Life. And here's our host, Parrish Owen Taylor.
All right, so we're going in 3, 2, and 1. Parrish Owen Taylor here for the EQ for Life podcast. Really excited, man. It's really just about showing the idea or teaching the ideas of being smart about emotions. All falls under these things called emotional intelligence. But today, my guest, I'm going to go all the way down to Louisiana. I could say client, but I'd rather say dear friend, because that's what he's become over the years. So Bob Luke, I got Bob Luke on the line. Bob, introduce yourself for me.
Hey guys, Bob Luke. How's it going, Parrish?
Doing well, doing well. Give me some background now, Bob. I got a lot to say about us, man, because we've been around. But let the audience hear a little bit about Bob Luke. You know, your family man, your career man, you're successful. So give us a debrief on Bob.
You know, Bob's from a little town called Centerville, Louisiana, which is really hugs the Gulf Coast. Come from a really big family of sugarcane farmers. My dad was one of 13. And so a lot of life lessons out there on that sugarcane farm that I carry with me every day. Been married over 27 years, been together with the same girl, putting up with me for over 30 years.
That's success right there, by and large.
Right. My goodness. Right. She tells me we're happy, so we're good.
That's emotional intelligence, baby.
Yeah. So anyway, 3 kids, twin boys. They're 23, almost 24, and my baby girl's 20, and she's in college. All of them still in school and moving on. We're all big LSU fans. I'm a graduate. My wife's a graduate, and all 3 of my kids are graduates of LSU. And professionally, I've been in the oil field all of my career, really on the service side, right? Just following the buffalo, following the big customer, and really adjusting to their needs. And I've been with this private company for about 18 years now, and creating business for these guys, managing, and it's really, I think I've got the best job in the world with this family that I work with and for. And my personal stuff, just sort of fresh empty nesters. And so when you've been parenting, you can relate to this, bro. You're kind of on the same trail with me here. You know, you're parenting for 24 years. All of a sudden, you empty nest. You kind of want to go back to golfing and hunting and fishing and the stuff you were doing before. But we moved on, right? So
definitely.
So now I'm painting and I'm doing tapping into a little horticulture coming from my roots there. I'm trying to get involved with some different things that move me in different ways. And I'm in a great place for that and looking forward to that chapter. But I guess that's me in a nutshell, man.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Now I know you did the last we spoke, you were going to talk about doing your own little podcast. So I do, before we close out, we definitely want to touch on that. So you and I met, Bob, we met in the marketplace. It had to be at least 6 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2013. I was thinking about that the other day. It was Daryl Fontenot introduced me to you in 12 or 13. And I asked you to come on. If you remember, we had that big workshop over there in Lake Charles at the casino. And that's when, you know, EQ really came into my life. And I hope you feel the same. We just became really fast friends and had a lot of shared ideals. Mm-hmm. And so it's been about 8 or 9 years.
What was now take me back and be real with me, man, because I mean I know when I found EQ, it was more out of desperation, right? I just I the result of my life. So, but you know, I met you at a good time. You had a corporate family that you wanted to expose these ideas. But what for you personally, what was the first thing that came to your mind when you heard this long-eared guy talking about emotions and being smart? What was your first impression?
You know, for me, I mean, just to not oversell this thing, it was, if I look back on certain events in my life that was most profound, this was absolutely the most profound. And, dealing with emotional intelligence and just sort of understanding it, the whole concept of it, it's not like taking algebra, bro, and then you got it figured out. And now you know math. It's an ongoing process, right. And it's something that, you know, us as humans and as people, we don't take it. We don't value it near as much as we should. It's not brought to the forefront. It's not as academic. But for me, I can tell you, it has changed my life for the better, and it continues to do that. It's just it never ends, man. It changes all the time. But I tell you, I know I value it and appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, as well as myself, again, kind of going back on my own merit, it was like I graduated from Purdue in 88, lost. And I just happened to, like most of us, I had a mentor or two that said, look, man, all this stuff over here is going to be there. Let's look at you. I think they called it self-help back in the day, bro. I needed a lot of help, dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have... knowing that we've engaged, so I'm gonna use the cylinders. We're gonna go to career. You are the steward of many folks. It's a bit of a nutcracker to try to get. I mean, I know I meet with a lot of men a lot of times, and this whole idea about emotions and deal with emotions in the first place. But how was it rolling it out within your companies, your organizations? Because you're over a lot of people, and you tried to expose them to it. How was that?
Well, you know, EQ covers a lot of ground, and it's different conversations, you know, and you're asking the sort of the career question here. And so one of the things, and this kind of came later in your counseling with me, this came probably 3 or 4 years later ago. I jumped to the whole T component when it comes to career. You know, thoughts, emotions, actions, thought, emotions, actions. And I take that part of it and I combine it to an old lesson you reminded me of. And I give you full credit of reminding me. And that is, you cannot manage people. It's impossible. I have 250 people. Impossible to manage three people.
It's like corralling cats.
And it's mainly because, you know, their interpretation of what you're saying, because they're coming from all these different emotional places, might be totally different. And so, you know, what I try to do is say, hey, listen, you understand emotional EQ, understand how the brain works, those polarized flipping in your brain. And how you react to it. And so, you know, you can't be so emotionally mature where you have you look like Elon Musk, almost robotic, right? You know, you got to put some theatrics in there. But what I try to discourage my people is to, I don't need theatrics. When you say emotion, you don't need somebody stomping up and down the hall to prove that they're dedicated to the company. I need them to make a mature decision, a process here. And when everybody understands it, and you came in and you coached up some of my key folks and gave them the fundamentals of it. But if it's like anything else, Parrish, if you're not practicing it every day and talking about it, like me and you talking about it, right, then it'll drip away like a bad diet or a good idea. And so for me, for my guys and my career and my girls, I often talk about emotional intelligence and understand that, hey, we're going to get phone calls You know, we're going to get a pandemic. We're going to get a hurricane. We're gonna have an all crash. There's these things are going to happen, but what we can control is our emotions through this, and make just good, smart decisions. Look at a process. Don't take it personal. Don't bang up on an individual. How is the process either working or failing or needs to be changed? And then all of a sudden, it's not personal. You know, those two things in my career made huge differences. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely, dude. I mean, I heard, I think that's, I don't want to get credit on that one quote, but it was like, you know, you talked about processes and the people, and there's a clever one out there, right? And it's, you manage the processes and you lead the people. Right. And that's why we got to be so damn emotionally intelligent on the people side, because they come in all shapes and sizes. Well said, man. Well said. Now, listen, man, 250 people. It's corralling cats, man, whether they are or not emotionally intelligent. You've raised three kids. You kept a sound marriage. What do you do, bro, to decompress? Right. To get that balance. You're smart. You know, you're getting close to maybe too many balls in the air. When you notice that, what does Bob go do to chill out a little bit?
You know, I'm going to go a little bit of not challenging your teaching here. I think it's more of a letting you know sort of what I do different. You know, when we talk about chatter, can we talk about chatter a second?
Absolutely.
So chatter is all of these images and photographs flowing through your mind. And I think why it EQ touched me so much when you first described it to me is that you just explained it perfectly. And that, you know, you're sitting in this white room and you have these photographs coming through three windows, you know, the past, the present, and the future. And we have to, it's these images in our brains that we're dealing with. It's, I think, a little Polaroid pictures. And so... The way my brain works, you might, you know, send a van of guys in white coats with a net after we're done. But, you know, I need to kind of get off the track, but I promise I'll come right back on.
I'm going to hold you to it. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I've never experimented with drugs or anything like this, but I am, I saw this. Got this interest in psychedelic type of drugs that people are using for PTSD and things like that. And I saw this really cool documentary on Netflix, and it was about psychedelic drugs and the clinical side of it. But people who use mind expanding deals, and Joe Rogan talks a lot about it and all that stuff. So I was watching it because it was interesting in it. And one of the things that I think it was Sting or Ben Stiller or one of these guys that did it. And there were some rules about taking these psychedelics, right? Like, for example, don't do it with a jerk friend. That's going to scare you and do all that kind of stuff. You know, you don't want to do that. You kind of want a spotter in there for safety reasons, you know. But what Sting said, I think it was him, he said, you know, you need to go in to the when you take the drug for the mind expanding experience, you need to go in with a mission. Like for him, he might say, look, I got writer's block. I got this album I want to put out. What's my message? And it sort of preempts the brain before you go into it. And, you know, some of these, one of them was a lady. It might not have been with this one. It might have been another one. She got diagnosed with cancer, and she was paralyzed with fear of dying. And so she went in asking her brain and during this expansion, help me resolve that. And man, they came out of it not really knowing what happened, but it worked that way. Why? What does that have to do with EQ? So this is what I do to decompress. If I have a lot of windshield time, say if I'm rolling out to Houston, right, I'll preempt my brain to say, hey, you know what? I want to resolve this problem with an employee, or I want to do this for my kids, or I have this project or a painting or whatever. And you know what I do? Instead of flexing, because you in some of your teachings, you're like, all right, you chatter's out here, bro, you got to flex it in. I want you here. But I think what's therapeutic for me is let that dog out the cage and don't yeah. try to, you know what I mean? Every now and then you got to
don't cage it. Yeah, right. Don't cage it up.
I mean, let it run, bro. Let it get out there. And it's going to do what it does. Some of y'all with some heavy chatter, let it do what it does. And then remarkably, I find that it takes on the same thing Stinging Them was talking about, and that you chatter in a crazy way, puts all the photographs in this little box and kind of solves your problem. And for me, it's when it's done, man, I feel way healthier, bro. You know, I feel
Amen.
Better.
Yeah.
Instead Amen. Of fighting it. Did yeah. that make sense where I was coming from? I took a long way, bro.
No, it makes absolute sense, right? First, I think the idea is just to get inside the head and make it friendly. That's a scary place for a lot of us, dude, when you talk about thoughts. But again, words and pictures. You know, what you're talking about there, they teach that shit in the Navy SEALs. It's visualization. Right. So you're taking that subject matter, whatever that is, but you're putting some thoughts and energies. I like your idea better, how you just kind of let the dog out of the cage on that subject. And then amazing things take place. I think it's huge, dude.
And it's all fabricated, right? It's Absolutely. Our imagination is fabricating something that's not even real. But if you're not controlling it, you know, I'm going to fabricate something in my mind. And like I was saying, next thing I know, I'm in this heated argument in my mind with somebody who it just triggered this chain of events. I mean, do you see a lot of that in your practice? I mean, am I the only crazy one that a lot of people do with that?
It's everywhere. Again, and I'm a cylinders kind of guy. So again, we have it in the family cylinder, you know, with the kids or with the companion. And then we go over to the career cylinder. So yeah, it's perpetual, you know, you know, you've done a lot, Bob. And again, I think the measures in your fruit, you know, you've been a successful entrepreneur. You have helped a family build a company that provides a lifestyle for a lot of people. You have within your own family, again, the beautiful wife, the children. So, when I say personal best, when you had a moment that where you really just felt gratified, like you overextended what you were capable of, tell me about one of those moments, the personal best.
You know, what I value the most, I think, is just being a parent. And so it's, you know, when your children get awards, right, and they do really good in academics, you see them in society doing really well, there's no one moment I said, oh, great, they did this, therefore that's a reflection of me, and now I'm a great parent, look at me, because my child did this. You know, so for me, it was a bunch of, not one thing, it's just a bunch of small trophies, and I got a long way to go, but ultimately, you know, the realization that we're, as a parent, we're sitting in the back seat. You know, we're just riding and just trying to coach them along and give them the tools they need to go. But that's, you know, when I think of my personal best, it's been that way for over 24 years. And so anything accomplished with work, is a far second. You know, I got, I don't know, two or three patents. I've done well on some of those. We pivoted a bunch of times in our company, and I'm not taking full credit by any means. But I am over putting the team together to do it. And I have a remarkable company that allows me to do it. I think those things are, I call them milestones or accomplishments. Mm-hmm. But when it connects to EQ, it's all about personal relationships in my tightest circle, man, which is my family and my friends like yourself. I take a lot of put a lot of weight on those kind of things, you know. So
absolutely. And again, I'm in that inner circle because you've invited me into your home. We've done some really cool things, neat things. And I expect it to continue on that note. On that note, again, your parenting, I get it. Knowing that we don't have all the data, but it's like we've given them the tools to go out and be self-sufficient and serve. I mean, your boys are doing great and so is your daughter. So you're being really humble. But I get that part about personal best and family. Just real quick on the kids, did you try to introduce the emotional intelligence psychobabble to them at all? And if so, what'd that look like?
You know, I do, especially with my little girl. You know, I think this is a skill that, girls have it a little different. But, you know, one thing I have to keep in mind, because if you go back the 8 or 9 years you've been educating me on this, now they're in middle school back then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't have the same cylinders we do. Okay. So we have 6 cylinders, but they don't care about career or finance or, you know, they worried about their social cylinder, which is one big cylinder. Right. And they're not supposed to have the other cylinders. And by the way, the family cylinder that I'm looking at is their same family cylinder, but we're looking in the cylinder and we see two totally different things. You know, a rebellious teenager is not going to view the family cylinder as a dad further down the line. And so I had to come to that realization.
But that's part of that dynamic, isn't it? If I'm going to try to see things from your side of the fence, I damn sure need you to be able to hook that. So I the gap, that's what we call that. That's the gap.
Right.
Thank you for participating in this podcast event, EQ for Life. EQ for Life is a podcast based on your views as a parent, a companion, an entrepreneur or business leader, and how learning to be smart about emotions plays out in everyday life. To learn more about the EQ for Life podcast or Parrish, please contact us online at info@parrishowentaylor.com or call 866-487-2815. That's 866-487-2815.